This morning I want to speak to you just a few minutes on this subject, the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ. And this is from the book of 2 John that Brother Mark just read, especially in verses 9 through 11, where the apostle wrote, 2 John 9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." Now, can that be any plainer? He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, let's stop there just for a moment. The preaching of doctrine, for the most part today, has been relegated to the background in most so-called professing Christian churches. It is said today that, even by some, that we don't preach doctrine. Well, then you don't preach anything. And then others will say, well, doctrine divides. And it does. But it also should. What is the word doctrine? Well, the word doctrine is just teaching. The Apostle John, when he began this short letter written to the elect lady, as he says, he talks about the truth. And so the doctrine of Christ in verse 9 is the same as the truth in verse 1. Doctrine is truth. Christ taught doctrine. Christ is the embodiment of truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that's the doctrine. Years ago, I began to hear some of the most doctrinal preachers you would ever hear beginning to put down doctrine, even write doctrine. And what they were trying to do was to combat the notion that a person could be saved only by an intellectual, mental agreement to a system of doctrine. And I suppose that's possible, but that's not the doctrine of Christ. They'd say things like this. They'd say, you don't arrive at Christ through doctrine, but you arrive at doctrine through Christ. And I don't know what a lot of them meant by that, but let me tell you something. Like, Christ is our salvation. But the only way you're going to get to Christ and believe in Christ and trust Christ is as the Holy Spirit brings you under the preaching of the gospel, which is doctrine. Without the doctrine of Christ, you don't know who Christ is. Without the doctrine of Christ, you don't even know who God is. Without the doctrine of Christ, the truth of Christ, and that's the gospel of Christ, you don't even know who you are. That's right. Without the doctrine of Christ, you don't know what salvation is or what it's all about. I was talking to a young preacher years ago about that. He preached a message on dead, cold, dry doctrine. And I challenged him on it. I said, well, where in the Bible do you find the doctrine of Christ described as dead, cold, and dry? Where is that? It's not in there, folks. Now, the Bible speaks of the dead hearts of dead sinners, but not dead, cold. There's not one negative word in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation about the doctrine of Christ. It's all good. Beautiful doctrine. Right doctrine. Profitable doctrine. Doctrines that we need and must have. The doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of life. Anything that tells me the truth about Jesus Christ is not dead, cold, and dry to me. How about you? A fella told me one time about this issue. He said, you don't arrive at Christ through doctrine. I said, well, let's just give you an example. Let's say I've never read a Bible, never heard the name Christ. I don't know anything about it. How are you going to tell me about Christ? He said, well, I'd start telling you about the doctrine, about his deity. And I said, well, that's the doctrine of his deity and his humanity. The doctrine of sin. What does the Bible say about me as a fallen son of Adam? Born dead in trespasses and sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's doctrine. That's what it is. Right doctrine. And then here's this little old epistle by the Apostle John. And he said, those who transgress and abide not in the doctrine of God, they don't have God. That means they're lost, folks. And then he says this, look at verse 10. He says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, this teaching, this truth, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, that's not talking about your homes. And that's not saying you're never to let any unbeliever in your home. We all have, some of us live with unbelievers. That's not the, he's talking about the church here. The household is the household and family of God, the church. What he's saying is that the only ones who you are to receive in your fellowship are believers, true believers, as known by the doctrine of Christ. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? What did he accomplish when he died on the cross as the surety and substitute of his people? Why did he do it? Where is he now? Is he coming again? Who is God? What does God say about himself in this word? That's the doctrine of God. And he says in verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker. That word partaker means a fellowship or a partner of his evil deeds. In other words, if you support this person who comes into your house without the doctrine of Christ, you're a partner with that person in their evil, because whatever they're preaching, if it's not the doctrine of Christ, the Bible says it's evil. They approach you. They want fellowship. They want support. Well, if they don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, we can't give them. Now, we can love them and pray for their salvation and tell them the truth, can't we? If they're hungry, we can feed them. If they're naked, we can clothe them. But we cannot have fellowship with them. We cannot receive them as a brother or sister in Christ. That's what he's saying. In fact, if you want to look at these three epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, look at them this way. 1 John is a polemic. That means it relates truths that are things that are poles apart, like the North Pole and the South Pole, as far apart as North is from the South, as East is from the West, poles apart. And here's what 1 John says. Here's the ground of the fellowship of God's people. God's people walk in the light. That's how he starts off, isn't it? In fellowship with the Father and Son, known by their walking in the light, and they don't walk in darkness. Darkness is poles apart from light. And those who walk in the light, how do you know? By the doctrine of Christ, the truth, the gospel. Those who walk in darkness walk in lies, deceptions, self-righteousness. And then he says it's the fellowship of righteousness. Now, where is my righteousness? What righteousness do I have? What is my righteousness before God? My righteousness is Christ. It's not in me. It's not of me. It's not from me. It's Christ, what he did on Calvary in his obedience unto death as my surety, paying my sin debt. All of my salvation conditioned on him and him alone. And he fulfilled those conditions. He is my righteousness. It's his righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to me. That's the fellowship of righteousness. That's the gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. Romans 1:16 and 17. And that righteousness of God is opposed to the righteousness of man. Now, any sinner who seeks salvation from God based upon what they do, based upon what they accomplish, that's not the fellowship of righteousness. That's the righteousness of man. And then he calls it the fellowship of love, which means we stand together in the fellowship of truth. Now look at verse 1 here of 2 John. He talks about the elder, that's John, unto the elect lady and her children. Now most commentators will tell you, and I agree with them, that this elect lady is not an individual woman or a believer, believing woman, but the church, a local church. Spoken up to in the feminine because the church is the bride of Christ. Christ is the husband, and his wife is his bride. It's the church, whom he redeemed with the price of his blood, and her children, that's the members of this church, whom I love, look at this, love in the truth. Now, the Bible commands us to love everybody, even our worst enemies. But this love here is that divine love. You've heard the term agape. That's what it is. It's divine love. That's a special love that only exists in those who are born again by the Spirit and brought into the fellowship of faith. We don't love our enemies, our neighbor, like this. In other words, we don't bring them into the fellowship and family of the church. Only God can do that. We love them in that we want the best for them, which means we tell them the truth, even when they hate to hear the truth, and we pray for their salvation. We're to desire the best for our worst enemy, the Scripture teaches us. That's the love of the law. Love God perfectly, love your neighbors yourself. But now this love is a special love that exists only amongst believers, the fellowship of faith. That's the agape love. That's the divine love that's shed abroad in the hearts of God's people by the Holy Spirit. So, and it's love that's founded upon truth, not a lie. It's not a love that says we can agree to disagree here. But it's founded upon the gospel truth of who God is in His holiness, in His righteousness, as well as His mercy and His love, which is only found in Christ. And he said, and not only I, but also all they that have known the truth. You're in fellowship with a lot of people, some of them you don't even know, because you believe the same gospel. Verse 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. When God the Holy Spirit brings a sinner to believe the gospel, He works in that sinner a new heart. Turn over to Romans chapter 6 that I read just a while ago. Verse 17. And here's what we need to understand. That God the Holy Spirit, brings sinners in the new birth to faith in Christ by doctrine. The doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of God, the doctrines of grace, you might say. Christ gives us life, spiritual life, brings us from spiritual deadness to spiritual life, and brings us to faith in the power of the Holy Spirit by doctrine. Now look here. He says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Now, remember this now, in the context of Scripture, there's only two kinds of people on this earth. There's sinners lost in their sins, and there's sinners saved by grace. We who are saved by grace, we're still sinners. We're still daily in need of God's grace and mercy. We still have no righteousness within ourselves. Our only righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. But we're not servants of sin in this sense. A servant of sin here is an unbeliever. A servant of sin here is one who's a slave to sin, who's in the deception of sin, who is deceived by Satan and by their own natural tendencies. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And he says, you were the servants of sin. You were unregenerate. You were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. You were unbelievers. But look what happened. But you have obeyed from the heart. Now, the heart is the mind, the affections, the will, the conscience. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now, if you have a concordance in your Bible, it probably reads something like this. It says, that form of doctrine whereto you were delivered. Now, that form of doctrine, the word form there, is like a stamp. It's like an identification, an identifying mark. It's like like something like a, in stone, a seal. And that seal is the doctrine that you were delivered to. Now, it is delivered to you in the preaching of the gospel. But what he's simply saying here is that God brought you under the preaching of this doctrine. This is an act of God. This is the providence of God. He brought you where you are. You say, well, now, wait a minute. I got up this morning. I decided to go to church. Well, you probably did. But when you are brought under the preaching of the truth of the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, I'm going to tell you something. It was God working in you sovereignly to do His will. He brought you here. You were delivered to it. Because I can guarantee you, according to the scripture, if left to your own, as they say, free will, you wouldn't even fool with it. You wouldn't give it the time of day. But through some means, under God's providence, He brought you where you are. You were delivered to it. And then what did He do if He brought you to faith in Christ? He gave you a new heart. Know what the scripture says? Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36, John chapter 3. He said, I'll give them a new heart. I'll put my spirit within them. And I'll cause them to walk in my statutes. What he says. He brought you to faith. And that's what he's saying. That form of doctrine which you were delivered to. Now, what form of doctrine is Paul talking about? He's talking about the gospel. The gospel which is the gospel of God. God who is a holy God. Who must be just when he justifies. Who must be a just God and a Savior. A righteous judge as well as a loving, merciful, gracious Father. The gospel which concerns His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the doctrine of Christ? It's the doctrine of His person. Who He is. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible's plain. The first revelation of Christ in the Bible, Genesis 3:15, the seed of woman. What does that tell you about it? The woman has no seed. That's the man. This woman, she had a seed. Who is that seed? It's the Messiah who was conceived in the womb of the Virgin by the Holy Spirit without the aid of man. He's God. That's who He is. He's the Word that was before all things, without whom all things were made. He is the Word made flesh. He is man, every bit man, without sin. He's God-man. That's who He is. That's the doctrine of Christ. Back over here in John, 2 John, it says in verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You want to know about antichrist? You know, the only one who ever used that term was the Apostle John in 1 John and 2 John. That means against Christ. Some denied His humanity. Some deny His deity. Many deny the accomplishment of His work. What did He do? He's God in human flesh who did what? What did He accomplish when He died on the cross of Calvary? Did He just make you savable? Not according to the Bible. He's the propitiation, the sin-bearing sacrifice who brought satisfaction, which worked out in righteousness that demands the salvation of all for whom He died, was buried, and arose again. He actually died. He was buried. He is risen. He's ascended unto the Father. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for His people. And what is the ground of His intercession? His righteousness, which He established on earth by His obedience unto death as the surety and substitute of His people. What did He say? He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For this is the will of the Father which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing. But raise it up again at the last day. That's the doctrine of Christ. We talk about the doctrines of grace. Here's the doctrine of total depravity. What does that say? Well, it says a lot. It talks about our sinfulness. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all fell in Adam. Romans 5:12. For as in Adam all die. That's what it says. All sinned when Adam sinned, because he's our representative. And that we are born dead in trespasses and sin without any desire or knowledge of the true and living God in his way. None righteous, no, not one. None that seeketh after God. None that doeth good, no, not one. In God's sight now. See, if you're going to understand the doctrine of Christ, you've got to quit comparing yourselves to other people. You've got to look at Christ. The Bible says that the righteousness we need can only be found in Christ, and that's the righteousness by which God's going to judge people. Acts 17:31, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and that he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. How righteous must I be to be saved, to be accepted? I must be as righteous as Christ. I cannot be that in myself. The best works that I could ever muster up in my life, with or without the help of God, will not equal the work of Christ. So how can I have his righteousness? That's where the doctrine of imputation comes in. That's the doctrine of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 6, talking about Abraham and David, how they were justified before God. What is it to be justified? It's to be not guilty. It's to be righteous in God's sight. How does that happen? Look at verse 6 of Romans chapter 4, talking about David, the psalmist. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth, accounts, reckons, charges, righteousness without works. That's how we have his righteousness. Not by our works. God charges it. He accounts it. He reckons it. Verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. How are our iniquities forgiven? By the blood of Jesus Christ. And whose sins are covered, not covered over or hidden from view, but covered by way of atonement, reconciliation, paid for. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He doesn't charge me with my sin. He charges me with Christ's righteousness. That's the doctrine of Christ. And then, as the Christ gives us life, brings us to faith in the power of the Holy Spirit by the new birth. That's the doctrine of Christ. Because the life that the Holy Spirit imparts to us in the new birth comes from Christ. He is our life. It's his, as the old theologians used to say, it's his resurrection life. He conquered sin and death and the grave. Christ did. I didn't. You didn't. Christ did. He arose from the dead. Because he paid for our sins and established righteousness. For by grace are you saved. And as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, his righteousness imputed is the ground of my justification before God, but it's also the source and power of the new life. The just, those to whom God has declared not guilty, righteous, shall live the life of Christ by faith, by looking to, clinging to Jesus Christ as our hope. That's the doctrine of Christ. Well, he's coming again. That's the doctrine of Christ. A lot of people go astray when they talk about the second coming of Christ. They buy into man-made systems such as dispensationalism and all of that. I'm not going to get into all that this morning. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Number one, he's coming again. That's the doctrine of Christ. Do you believe he's coming again? If you don't, you don't believe the doctrine of Christ. Number two, here's the second point. We do not know when he's coming again. Now, if you look at 2 John 9, it says, whosoever transgresseth. That word transgresseth means they go too far. It means they cross the boundary. They leap over the doctrine and get into other things. Now, he's coming again. We don't know when he's coming. Now, if you think you know when he's coming and you set a date on that, you're going too far. It's not the doctrine of Christ. Because he said we don't know when he's coming. So here's, when it comes to the second coming, what's the doctrine of Christ? Number one, he's coming. Number two, we don't know when he's coming. We know he is, and we are to live every day of our lives in expectation that it may be today. It could be any minute. He's coming, and there's going to be a judgment. And when he comes again and we stand before God at judgment, how do we want to be found before God? Paul said it in Philippians chapter 3, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of Christ. That's third. That's the doctrine of Christ. And then fourthly, what is the greatest sign that we're getting closer to his coming, other than just time marching on? Christ taught his disciples, as we get closer to his second coming, there are certain things we can look for. And what's the greatest one? False Christianity is the greatest sign. Somebody said, well, it'll be pornography and drugs. That's been going on all along, folks. Now, it's probably a little more pronounced in our day because we have television and the internet. I was talking this morning about the Roman Empire. That was one of the most wicked, evil empires ever on the face of the earth. They promoted homosexuality just like they do today. But they didn't have TVs and internet back then to spread it around. So maybe that is worse. Okay. But the greatest sign that Christ taught his disciples about, especially if you look at Matthew 24, Mark 13, 2 Thessalonians 2, and the whole book of Revelation, is false Christianity. The deception of Satan. Has there ever been a time when we are more in need of self-examination according to the Word of God? Well, that's the doctrine of Christ. Well, look back at 2 John. He says in verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not, continueth not. That's perseverance in the doctrine. We persevere by the grace of God as he preserves us, the scripture says. And those who do not persevere in the doctrine of Christ, they have not God. They're not in fellowship with God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. He's in fellowship with the Father and the Son by the Spirit. John spoke of that in 1 John chapter 1. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. We're brought into fellowship with God through Christ the Son. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. Now he says in verse 10, now let me make this point clear. If there come any of you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Again, he's talking about the church family. He's talking about the household of faith, not our individual houses and earthly families. And he's not saying don't turn these people away and don't let them come in and sit and listen. But he's saying you cannot receive them into the fellowship of faith. Only God brings his people, his children, his elect, the elect lady, into the fellowship and the family of faith. As evidenced by their believing in Christ, their trusting him, their repentance of dead works, abiding in the doctrine of Christ. Look back at 1 John chapter 2. Now this is the context even of 2 John. And look at verse 18 of 1 John chapter 2. He says, little children, it is the last time. The last age. That's what we're living in now. And as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They did not abide in the doctrine of Christ. They claimed to believe the doctrine. They claimed to believe the gospel. They claimed to trust Christ, but they didn't continue. For if they had been of us, if they'd been in that fellowship of faith, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now that's who John is talking about over here in 2 John 9. Now verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, in other words, they don't believe this gospel. They don't believe who Christ, the truth about Christ in his person, in his finished work, in his righteousness, in his mediatorial, intercessory work now at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people, to save us, to keep us, and his return, and the judgment wherein God's people will stand before God in Christ and be declared in him righteous. If they bring not this doctrine, don't receive him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For if you do, verse 11, you're a partaker of his evil deeds. Well, none of us desire to be a partner with the wicked in evil deeds, do we? The problem is, unless God gives us eyes to see and ears to hear, we can't recognize this kind of evil. You see, this kind of evil is not the immorality and perversions that the natural man can see. This kind of evil is that kind of religious evil that comes under the guise of Christianity, wherein those who claim to believe in Christ, but they don't believe and understand and know the doctrine of Christ, who he is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now. It's like many in John's day, they said, well, we believe in Jesus, but we don't really believe he's God. He's the Son of God, some kind of a lesser God. Well, that's evil. And it's evil not because these people are insincere or immoral. It's evil because it denies the glory of God in Christ. It denies Christ. It's self-righteousness, you see. Those who do not know. And like the Pharisees, Christ said, they do indeed appear righteous unto men. But they're not. Because their righteousness is a man-made human righteousness by their works. It's not the righteousness of God that can only be found in Christ. That's the doctrine of Christ. Now, he that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. He's in fellowship with God. Think about that. That's how important this doctrine is. This teaching, this truth, this gospel. Paul said, if they come preaching any other gospel than that which we preach, let them be anathema. No matter how good it sounds, no matter how appealing it is, no matter how many follow it, if it's another gospel, my friend, it's evil in God's sight. But the gospel of God will always glorify him in Christ. All right?